In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. What I'd like to do this morning is back into that scripture a little, if you please, and suggest to you that there's a reason we have that scripture and the scripture in Matthew. And that reason is not because Jesus was born. I'm going to suggest to you that it takes a life to make a birthday matter to anybody. Think about that. Why is it we celebrate, or we used to? Now we have a unified President's Day in February. Why is it we used to celebrate February the 12th in America? Sure, it was Abe Lincoln's birthday. No, that's not why we celebrated it. Not because it was his birthday. We celebrated it because of the life Abraham Lincoln lived. That made us want to celebrate his birthday. Same is true of George Washington. Same is true of some other people. You know, the fact of the matter is, when Prince Charles was born in England, they celebrated his birth all over England. But go today and see if anybody can tell you when his birthday is. I'm going to suggest to you that the miraculous events in Matthew and Luke are not Jesus' credentials. That's not what they are. It is the life and death of the man Jesus that made those birth stories important and even made them come to life at all. See, the fact is, nobody paid any attention to the circumstances of Jesus' birth. It wasn't even recorded anywhere in these scriptures that we read this morning. It wasn't even recorded anywhere until the first century. It was a long time after his birth before anybody decided that that was important. And then they're not so much an account of his birth, I'm going to suggest to you, as an explanation of his life and death and resurrection. Hang in there with me for a minute. How much of Jesus' life is symbolized in the birth narratives? Well, try these things on for size. First of all, he was a poor man. He never accumulated any wealth. He never had a home, as far as we know. He used a boat to preach from, but he had to borrow the darn thing. He borrowed a donkey for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He borrowed an upper room for that last night with his disciples. And so in the story, by the first century, what they remember about him is that he was born on borrowed straw in a borrowed stable. Or this. Jesus had a love for the down and out. People being cheated in the temple with their offerings, you know, that's what the turning over the tables in the temple was about. They were being cheated by the priests, selling them offerings that they could then make back to the temple. That's convenient, isn't it? He heals lepers. He reaches out and heals blind people. He's so sensitive that he knows that some woman has touched the cloak, his garment, as he walks down the street and says, "Who touched me?" He cared for and even recruited to help him a hated tax collector. He went about caring for the folks in the average houses, the folks in the streets, the people whose children were sick and died. And so, who is it that comes to that manger first? But the people of God's land and fields and sheep, the shepherds. Interesting what we remember, isn't it? When we know a life. Jesus was a first century Jew. But he didn't stay in the first century. He was one of the most universal characters we're ever going to encounter. He even said to us, "Go now and make disciples of all nations." Not just the Hebrews, not just the folks in the Holy Land, but of all nations, everybody out there, everybody you can touch. And so the angels in the story sing glad tidings to all people, not just to the people of Israel. Jesus was a man of peace. He entered only wars of personal relationships. Remember, he stopped them from stoning the woman who was accused of adultery. Remember him saying, "God blesses the peacemakers of the world." Remember, he taught not only love your neighbor, but if someone offends you and actually hits you, actually slaps you in the face, what you're to do about that is to turn the other cheek also. And so in the story, backing into it, the angel sings, "Upon earth peace among men and of goodwill." Jesus spoke with authority and wisdom. From the time he was a little boy in the temple, remember how the priests were amazed at his knowledge. The people in those early years said, "You know, here's a man who teaches with authority," and they called him rabbi. They called him wise teacher. And so who is it that comes and bows down and brings gifts but the wise men from the east? You see, the writers of the birth narratives have written much more than the account of a birth. All those things may be perfectly true, but there's much more there than that. They have reflected the very personality and existence of a real person in what they remembered. Those who argue over the truth of those scriptures, the literal truth of that, have simply missed the point. They missed the point of these scriptures. There is much more there than facts. There is a great truth. There is woven into that which is physically true in those stories, that which is also spiritually true. There was a fellow who wrote poetry called G.K. Chesterton. I've long loved his poetry. I think he captured the real mood of the scriptures when he wrote a thing called The House of Christmas. I want you to listen with your mind, listen with your hearts, and remember it. Because like those scriptures, It is much more than fact. It is truth. There came a mother, driven forth out of an inn to Rome. In the place where she was homeless, all men are at home. All the crazy stable close at hand, with shaking timber and shifting sand, grew a stronger thing to abide and stand than the square stones of Rome. For men are homesick in their homes and strangers under the sun, and they lay their heads in a foreign land whenever the day is done. Here we have battle and blazing eyes and chance and honor and high surprise. But our homes are under miraculous skies where the Yule tale was begun. A child in a foul stable where the beasts feed and foam. Only where he is homeless are you and I at home. For we have hands that fashion and heads that know, and our hearts we lost how long ago in a place no chart nor ship can show under the sky's dome. For this world is as wild as an old wives' tale, and strange the plain things are. The earth is enough and the air is enough for our wonder and our war. But our rest is as far as the firedrake swings, and our peace is put in impossible things, where clashed and thundered unthinkable wings round an incredible star. To an open house in the evening, home shall men come. To an older place than Eden, and a taller town than Rome. To the end of the way of the wandering star. To the things that cannot be and that are. To the place where God was homeless and all people are at home. And now may you go into the world with joy and peace. May you be men and women of goodwill. For it has pleased God to send his Son into our midst and to give us a Merry Christmas. Amen.